gelsin Elendasya, Zelan Zelan Sulakaya. Taksu Samilatam Zena Tatsai, Sri Gurave Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Stapitam Zena Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Padamayam, Tadati Sao Pandantikam. Vansa Kaupa Tubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha, Kitikaram Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. Balaram Purnima is such a wonderful time, especially in Balaram's own place of Vrindavan. The season now in Vrindavan, maybe we can close the door a little bit, or the season now in Vrindavan is very warm. It's just nearing the end of the rainy season. It's warm and humid and very, very fragrant. The whole atmosphere is full of the fragrance of the many blossoming flowers of Vrindavan. And also, during this, towards the end of the, or the, at the end of the shravan season, in Vrindavan, there are still some rain clouds, and sometimes these darkish rain clouds, you can see the sun shining through them, especially early in the morning, and they look very effulgent. And when one sees a dark rain-filled cloud that's very effulgent, what do we think of? Krishna. The complexion. Krishna is called Shyam. And also, of course, when we're in Vrindavan, there's Krishna Balaram Mandir. And Prabhupada said that he established Krishna Balaram Mandir for a few reasons. He mentioned that there is no prominent temple of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. And also he wanted to establish Vijendra Nandana Ye Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. That Balaram, the Krishna himself, is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Balaram has come as Nityananda Prabhu. Nowadays, last time I was in Vrindavan, this is the first time I saw this, that there was now in Vrindavan, in the beginning, when Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram Mandir, devotees were wondering if anyone would come to this temple that was so far away from the center of Vrindavan. But now, it is so popular, practically you can't see the deities at any time, because there are so many people continuously there, continuously, and it's so awe-inspiring and devotion-inspiring to watch all the different pilgrims come through in their different moods and just watch them come before the deities and pray so sincerely. And just last time I was in Vrindavan, last year perhaps, it was this year, and perhaps March, I saw one local person or someone from UP area taking some of his people around and showing him, oh, this is Gaund Thai. And people, as many people in India, they don't know who is Gaund Thai. They don't, their fame has not yet spread to every town and village, even of Bharat, when you speak of the world. It is happening. It is really happening. It is not completed yet. So this person said, you don't know? Gaund Thai, the same as Krishna Balaram. So to hear this person who had visited Krishna Balaram Mandir previously speak the glories of Nityan Gaur as Krishna Balaram and watch Prabhupada's words come true. It was so inspiring. Some other words that Prabhupada said about Balaram that are very, very significant to repeat on this day. I didn't hear Prabhupada say this directly, but when we began to live in Vrindavan in the early 80s, very close to the time when Srila Prabhupada had spent so much time there, the devotees told us that Prabhupada said, and please listen to this because it is very significant and relevant to perhaps to more than just me. He said that if you have a problem that you don't know how to solve, you take it to Dauji. You take this to Balaram. And Balaram can take care of this. And I had direct experience of this on many occasions. Perhaps my favorite story in this regard is this one lady in the 80s came from Iran with a group of Iranian devotees. That in and of itself is quite amazing. And she couldn't speak any English. But I spoke to them, I spoke to the devotees for a while. And then at the end, she and someone who could speak English came and stayed behind because they wanted to ask me a question. And this Mataji, who was in her 40s, or perhaps early 50s, late 40s, she told me, through the translator, that she was born from a Muslim family. There she was in Vrindavan. She was born in a Muslim family, and their training is so strict that God has no form. And therefore, she told me, quite confidentially, that she had a very difficult time understanding the beautiful forms of Gaur-Nitai, of Krishna and Balaram, and Radha-Shyama Sundar-Lalita Visakha. So I began to preach to her. I told her so much philosophy. Of course, he's the Supreme Lord for him. The material energy, the spiritual energy, they are all his energies. I explained so much philosophy. But I could see she was not touched at all. This type of training goes very deep in the heart. It didn't touch her heart, the philosophy I was speaking. And then I remembered what Prabhupada said, if you have a problem that you cannot solve, go to Balaram. So I told her, this sounds like a problem that you cannot solve. You should take this problem. You can't believe in the form of God, the deity, in the Archa Vigra, you take this to Balaram. But be very honest. You go to Balaram and tell him the whole story. You stand in front of Krishna and Balaram, fold your hands, and tell him everything. Tell him you are born in a Muslim family. And therefore you were taught and you can't accept that he's God. Be honest with him. Tell him. So, very good-hearted people, actually. Very good-hearted people. So she went to Balaram immediately and I went on with my activities. And then 45 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and she and the translator came back in, and she said, basically, now I believe. I don't even know what happened between her and Balaram. She was speaking Farsi to him. He understands all languages. I don't know what happened between her and Balaram. But Balaram convinced her. This is Balaram. In Bhagavatam, Balaram is past times, especially in the 10th canto. There are so many pastimes of Balaram and his activities with Krishna, his activities alone. And one of the early ones, pastimes that are described, is in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, where Balaram actually gets his name. He's given three names by whom? By Bhagacharya, Bhagarishi, Bhagamuni. He's given three names. So Bhagamuni, a great sage, who is especially expert in Jyotish. What does Jyotish mean? Jyotish Shiromani. What does it mean? Astrology, yes. He was Trikalagya. He knew everything. He could tell the past, which is also very difficult to find out what actually happened when something happened. You ask 10 different people what happened, and you'll get how many different, we don't even know how many different explanations you'll get. The past, we would think it's easier to figure out, but I have noticed that when they predict the weather, I've noticed it in Perth, that they're better at predicting yesterday's weather than today's weather. But he, Nagarishi, was so powerful and all-knowing that when he appeared in Braja, being inspired as the priest of the Yadu dynasty, being inspired by Vasudev to perform the sanskara, the namakaran, the giving ceremony of Krishna in Balaram, soon as Nanda Maharaj saw him, he immediately said, "This is the greatest fortune." In and of itself is an amazing, wonderful, important point. Manda Brahmati Konya Bhagyavan Jeev, when the Jeeva becomes fortunate, he comes in contact with such a soul like Gagarishi, who can give true meaning to his existence. Otherwise, we come into this world, we have so many important things to do, we rush here, we rush there, back and forth, and then, day and night, the sunrise and the sunset, they steal away our lives imperceptibly, and suddenly we find ourselves 50, 60, 70 years old. We're lucky. And we wonder, what happened? What happened to my life? And then, Katamogya, finished. And the wondering is gone. And what have we gained? What do we leave behind? What do we take with us? And if we don't have anything of eternal value, we've gained nothing with our life. Zero. And we have to leave it behind. But that perhaps is the subject of another 100 classes by so many qualified devotees. Bhagamuni's presence, immediately the culture was so strong. Immediately they recognized, here is an opportunity for some spiritual, for something, to obtain something of spiritual value. And immediately Nanda Maharaj requested, begged Bhagarishi to perform the sanskar, namaskaran sanskar for the two boys, Krishna and Balaram, because as a loving father, he wanted them to get the benefit of this spiritual impression implanted in their hearts by this great sage. So he asked Gagamuni in Bhaga Muni said, I think it's very dangerous if I do this because I'm known as the priest of the Yadav dynasty. And Kamsa is so cruel and he's such a clever politician. And he knows that the eighth child of Devaki has already been born somewhere else, and if the priest of the Yadav dynasty, the Vasudeva's priest, it becomes known that he is the one who performed the name-giving ceremony of this boy. He didn't say Krishna, because he hadn't been given the name Krishna yet. But if this child, if I perform the ceremony, then Kamsa, being so much knowledgeable about Rajniti, about diplomacy, he will understand, and then he might kill this boy. So Nanda Maharaj, what did he do? He wanted this great sage to perform the ceremony, but it couldn't be done so that Kamsa would find out. So he said, you just perform the ceremony in this goshala, this cow shed, and I won't even tell or invite my relatives. And usually, the name-giving ceremony, the householders, they like to invite everyone. It's such a celebration. It was so important to take advantage of Bhaga Rishi's presence that he decided to hold this. He didn't even ask Bhagavati Muni, who was the disciple of Bhaga Rishi living in Vrindavan. No, he wanted Bhaga Muni to perform it himself. So Bhaga Muni agreed to do it. And the first names that he gave were to Balaram. Well, sometimes it is said that Balaram was born 1 year and these days between the Purnima and Krishna Janmashtami, 1 year plus those days. But Srila Jiva Goswami does not accept that. Balaram was born just these eight, how many days? 8 days before Krishna. Only because later on we hear how they were crawling through the dust, the muddy dust and dirt of Vrindavan. They were crawling, both of them were crawling together. If Balaram was a year older than Krishna, he would have been walking while Krishna was crawling. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, no, only 8 days. So this is what he said about Balaram. I am he Rohini's putro Ramayan Srido Gunai. That this son of Rohini, because Balaram was known as the son of Rohini in Vasudeva, this son, Rohini putra Ramayan, he will give pleasure. He will give pleasure, Surido Gunai, because of his wonderful qualities. Because of Balaram's wonderful qualities. He will give pleasure to all his relatives and everyone who meets him. It is because of his wonderful qualities. If we want to please another, we have to have the proper qualities, character to do so. And Balaram will be surido. He will be pleasing to the hearts of everyone, Gunai, because of his qualities. And he will give everyone Mayan. He will give them pleasure. And one of Balaram's qualities is what? Strength. And another quality. He has a terrible temper. That's what we find out sometimes when we hear some of the pastimes of Balaram. And does, can the anger of the Lord, of Lord Balaram, give pleasure? Well, it certainly gave pleasure to all the devotees and all the demigods when the personification of the Lord's anger came as Lord Nrsingadev, and ripped apart that envious, wasp-like asura, Harani Kashipu. Yes, the Lord's anger is always transcendental and purposeful and wonderful. And he's merciful too. If time permits, and time may not permit so much, but we can hear some of the pastimes of Balaram. Oh! There's a wonderful pastime when he, after Rukmi, who is Rukmi's famous sister? Rukmini, who is Krishna's first wife. And her brother was Rukmi, who was very envious of Krishna, completely envious of Krishna, and tried to stop the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini by proposing that Rukmini marry Sisabha, who was Chandiraj, such an envious, completely envious. He was the definition of envy of Krishna. That was his part of the Lord's test. So inimical. And Rukmi tried to stop it, and he was disfigured. He was embarrassed, humiliated, and also he was disfigured by Krishna. And he was so inimical to Krishna, even increased even more after that time. He was humiliated. And then, by the arrangement of Krishna, he was humiliated even further because his daughter chose Krishna's son, Pradyumna, to marry. More humiliation. And then, even worse humiliation, that their son was going to be married to Rukmi's granddaughter. So Rukmi was so inimical. And at the very marriage ceremony of his granddaughter with Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson, Rukmi made a plan to embarrass Balaram, who was in the mood of a Kshatriya warrior. Even though he is the Supreme Lord, and even though in one of his expansions, an expansion of his expansion, as Mahavishnu, as Karanadakshaya Vishnu, even though universes come from the pores of his skin, and then there's a further expansion, as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he's the super soul of this universe, and another expansion of Balaram is Kiridakshaya Vishnu, an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion. And by the first expansion of Balaram, he's Shankarshan in Dwarka, and the second expansion of Balaram, he's Mula Shankarshan or Mul Shankarshan, who all the spiritual and material universes with his potency. Everything is resting upon him. The Sandini Shakti, the material and spiritual universes. And as his final expression is Shesha or Ananta Shesha, the universes are resting upon him, and he becomes Krishna's bed, his slippers. So many different paraphernalia for Krishna's pleasure. And all of Balaram's manifestations, he's doing everything to assist Krishna in his pastimes. That is Balaram's mood, as an assistant to Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna, even though he's completely all-powerful himself, still his desire is to serve. And how ironic that is, because here we are in the material world, little teeny insignificant power, and you want to be master. And here, Balaram, who is master, he wants to serve. So this is how Balaram's serving mood manifested in this particular pastime. All-powerful Balaram universes from his expansion of his expansion emanate from the pores of his skin. Universes. And Rukmi decided to plot and scheme against Balaram, who had the mood of a Kshatriya, the personality of a person. And Rukmi, at this wedding ceremony of his granddaughter to Krishna's grandson, he wanted to make Balaram lose, because Kshatriya, he had a Kshatriya spirit, and he hated to lose. It was intolerable for him. So, although he wanted to defeat Krishna, he decided that Krishna was undefeatable, so he decided to challenge Balaram in gambling. And throwing some type of dice or something in gambling. And Balaram liked to gamble, but was not expert. So Rukmi challenged him at this wedding ceremony with all the festivities present going on. First, they played for 100 gold coins, and Rukmi won. And he teased Balaram. And he had all his king friends around him teasing Balaram. And the king of Kalinga laughed and showed his teeth to Balaram, which is considered very impolite. And also, when you're dealing with Balaram, very dangerous. So then, Rukmi said, why don't we bet again? Now let's play for 1,000 gold coins. And Balaram took up the challenge and again lost. And they raised it to 10,000 gold coins. And Balaram then lost. And Balaram was starting to become very angry. Balaram's complexion is whitish color. And he likes to wear what color cloth? Bluish cloth. And Balaram's complexion, whitish, like a cloud that has been emptied of its rain. And Krishna's complexion is like a cloud that is full of rain. So Balaram, that empty white cloud, began to get reddish in his anger. And then they raised it to 100,000 gold coins. And Balaram, he won. But Rukmi said, no, Balaram, you've lost. You're trying to cheat. And all the kings said, yes, Rukmi won, Rukmi won. They were all inimical. And Balaram was starting to boil. And Rukmi said, now, let us play for 100 million gold coins. Balaram said, yes! And Balaram, did he win or lose? He won again. And Rukmi said, no, Balaram, you lost. You lost. And all the kings said, yeah, Balaram, you lost. And they showed their teeth. Yeah, Balaram, you lost. Very dangerous to take the other side of Balaram. Better to go to him to solve your problems in a very humble spirit rather than to be antagonistic and fight with Balaram. And suddenly, while Rukmi and all the kings were insisting that Balaram had lost, they were cheating in this way. In fact, Balaram had won. Suddenly, there was a voice from the sky that announced, actually, Balaram has won. And Rukmini is lying. Rukmi Singh. Oh, who listens to these voices anyway? Balaram, you're cheating. You may know something about how to herd cows, being a cowherd boy. Dice playing, gambling, and the shooting of arrows. This is for Kshatriyas. At that time, the anger of Balaram burst its blood banks. And without saying anything, Balaram picked up his club and with one blow killed Rukmi. And then the king of Kalinga, who had been showing his teeth, then needed to see a dentist because Balaram smashed him in his mouth with his club. And then he smashed all the kings and sized their heads. And they all ran. This is so amazing. This is so amazing. Because Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Practically speaking, Krishna and Balaram are the same in power. The color, the complexion is different, and that's the only difference. And Balaram, his desire is to serve Krishna only and assist Krishna in his pastimes. And yet he exhibited these pastimes so we can understand that this is for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna was there watching this. What did he do? He just stayed neutral because this was his dear wife's brother. And if he would have been very, very happy about it, it may have upset his wife. And he didn't want to upset his wife. And if he said, Balaram, you shouldn't do these things, then Balaram might be upset. So Krishna, knowing the art of doing everything perfectly, just remained neutral. And this way, another demon, which was Krishna's purpose of coming to this world, or one of the purposes, was to eradicate all the demonic forces. Another one had been dispatched in a most wonderful way, personally, by Balaram. Balaram also killed in Vrindavan, he killed Dhanukasura. What a wonderful pastime. What place did Krishna give Balaram kill Dhanukasura? Talavan. And Talavan. And Balaram went there because Balaram hadn't killed any demons yet in his Brijalila. So Krishna let Balaram go first so he would kill the demons. Kill the demon Dhanukasura. The boys had inspired Krishna and Balaram to enter the Talavan forest. Balaram immediately grabbed this tree, a tall tree, and he shook it. And all the tall fruits began to fall. And Dhanukasura, and this is the mentality of an asura, a demoniac person, he was in the form of a donkey, a jackass. And what do donkeys eat? Grass. They don't even eat tall fruits. They couldn't tolerate that anyone else would eat it. This is the envious mentality of someone who's demonic. Envy. I can't take it, but no one else can take it. So when he heard that Balaram, he didn't know it was Balaram, but someone had come and was shaking the trees in his area, he was the ruler of Talavan, and someone had dared to come. He became furious, and he put his back to Balaram to kick him. Balaram, when his feet shot out to kick Balaram, and this Dukasura was very powerful, very powerful, fearsome. Balaram just grabbed his feet and swung him around and threw him into the tree, the tallest tree. And that tree knocked into another tree, which knocked into another tree, and knocked into another tree until it looked like a hurricane. It passed through the Taliban forest, knocking down one tree after another. And then all his friends came. And Krishna and Balaram swung them around. And all the boys were just, oh, Krishna, Balaram. So wonderful. Just imagine to have a friend like Krishna, a friend like Balaram. Gyatvamam shantim richati, Krishna says. Suridam savabhutanam. Indeed, Krishna is our friend. And Balaram is our friend, indeed. We do have friends like Krishna and Balaram. Because Krishna and Balaram are our friends. Surit means the dearmost friend. Sarvabhutanam, all living entities. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Riti Se Arjuna Tishtati. So the coward boys, seeing the power of their friends, oh, their hearts swelled with such love and affection. One time, Krishna acted in such a wonderful way. When the Pralambasura disguised himself as a cowherd boy in Bandiravan. Raise your hand if you've been to Bandiravan. Mana, Prabhu, you've been to Bandiravan? Huh? Are you going to go this time you go to Vrindavan? Why don't you go to Bandiravan? It's so wonderful. You'll be so happy if you go there. And in that place, this Pralambasura had disguised himself as a coward boy to try to take away Balaram to kill him. And please listen to this one quite amazing point. That when Balaram was being carried away by Pralambasura, his mobile phone did not go off. I'll tell you that. When Balaram was being carried away, he was so immersed in the mood of the coward boys due to their love for him. He was acting as if he was just a coward boy. His consciousness was just like a coward boy. He even forgot that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to the love of the boys and the Sataras. He even forgot his own power. And when Pralambasura assumed his horrible form, powerful, huge, he assumed that form, and Balaram, for a moment, became fearful. He was so much immersed in the loving mood of a coward boy. And Krishna reminded him, oh, Balaram, this isn't the time to forget your powers. You're the Supreme Lord. The pastimes of Krishna are very mysterious. And then Balaram immediately, what? Oh, it was over. So by these qualities of Balaram, such loving, merciful, wonderful qualities, he gave pleasure to everyone. 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 Ramayan Surido Gunaye. Akyasyate Rama iti, and therefore he will be known as Rama. because he gives pleasure to everyone because of his qualities. And Bala Dikaya Balam Vidu. And because Bala Adika, he has so much Bala or strength, because of his wonderful qualities, he is known as Ram. And because of his extraordinary strength, he is known, he will be known as Bala. Yadunam Apritag Bhavat Sankarsanam Usyantyapi. And because he will unite the dynasties, Nandamaraja's dynasty, and the dynasty of the Yadus. Karsa means to attract and bring together. He will be known as Sankarsan. So three names of Balaram. Rama, Bala, and Sankarsan. I'll just take a few more minutes and just read some wonderful quotations from Nectar of Samatha Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, to the Prabhupada Nectar of Devotion about Balaram. He is a person, but an unlimited person. If we can get the pleasure of this person raining down upon us, what will be difficult for us? If he can become pleased with us, what will be difficult for us? One devotee, this is the description from Nectar of Devotion, described the personal beauty of Baladev as follows. Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Balaram, whose beauty is enhanced by the earrings that touch his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made of kasturi or musk, and his broad chest is decorated with gunja. His complexion is as white as an autumn cloud. He wears garments of blue, and his voice is deep and grave. His arms are very long, they touch his thighs, and he has shown his great strength by killing the Pralamba demon. Let me take shelter of Shivarus Balaram. Shivarus, Balaram was very chivalrous. His chivalrous activities in the matter of fighting, charity, mercy, execution of religious rituals are called constitutional or natural, whereas expressions of his pride, his emotion, endurance, kindness, determination, jubilation, enthusiasm, jealousy, and remembrances are called unconstitutional, they come and go. When Stoka Krishna, one of the many friends of Krishna, was fighting with Krishna, his father chastised him for fighting with Krishna, who was the life and soul of all the residents of Vrindavan. Upon hearing these chastisements, Stoka Krishna stopped his fighting, but Krishna continued to challenge him. And thus, in order to meet the challenge, Stoka Krishna took his pole and began to display his dexterity by whirling it. That one was about Krishna, not Balaram. And once Sridham challenged Bhadrasena and said to him, "My dear friend," Bhadrasena was the son of Bhadrasena's mother. I can't remember her name. Ambika, I think. And she prayed for someone who was so strong that he'd be able to always protect Krishna, to have a son. And that son was Bhadrasena. And Bhadrasena's voice was very powerful. So Bhadrasena was always went with Krishna to the cowherd pastures to protect him. So he said, "My dear friend, you needn't be afraid of me yet, he said to Sridham Challan's Bhadrasena. You needn't be afraid of me yet. I shall first of all defeat our brother Balaram, and then I shall beat Krishna, and then I shall come to you. Bhadrasena therefore left the party of Balaram and joined Krishna, and he agitated his friends as much as Mandara Hill had agitated the whole ocean. By his roaring sounds, he deafened all his friends, and he inspired Krishna with his chivalrous activities. But this is the one I really wanted to read. Once Krishna was watching Sridham very expertly using his stick to fight with Balaram. So who was fighting? Boys, boys of boys, they fight. So Sridham was fighting Balaram with his stick very expertly. And Balaram was an expert club fighter, and he had even killed the Bambasura demon with his stick. When Krishna saw Balaram finally defeated by Sridham, who was only using a small stick, Krishna became filled with pleasure, and he began to look at Sridham with great wonder. Sridham defeated Balaram with a small stick. What do you think about that? Even Krishna thought this was wonderful. These are the amazing pastimes of Vrindavan, where the Lord continuously becomes defeated by his devotees because his devotees love him so much. So we'll end here. Please take advantage of this day and see if you can gather some of the mercy of Lord Balaram. Shri Balaram Purnima ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Just tell me when to stop. Now, always keep in mind that Balaram is unlimitedly powerful, but yet, as we just heard, he even is defeated by Sridham. This shows how powerful the devotee's love is. But how powerful is Balaram's love? We were recently reading a story of how the pastime of how when Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys were herding the cows in Kandiravan, or the calves actually, suddenly a great baka, trained like asura, came, sent by Kamsa. His name was Bakasura. And immediately he had such an envious, prideful mentality. He immediately attacked Krishna with his beaks, pointed beaks, and swallowed Krishna first. Now, we know, because we have studied philosophy, we know that Krishna will always win. But there is something different than philosophy that is also required to taste the sweetness of Krishna Leela, and that is rasa. And rasa is based on love. So when we read how Balaram is watching the coward boys, and we read how Bakasura swallows Krishna, we don't become affected. But when Balaram, who knows everything, saw Bakasura swallow Krishna, he fainted. He fainted because he had so much fraternal brotherly love for Krishna. the love of Balaram for Krishna is indescribable. But in little incidents like this, it is shown he fainted. And of course, very quickly, Akasura spit up Krishna because Krishna became intolerably hot to him. Krishna was the sweetest of the sweetest because of Bhagasura's nasty mentality. The combination of him and Krishna was intolerable. Rukmi, intolerable in relationship to Krishna. Putana, intolerable in relationship. But the residents of Vrindavan, their love for Krishna is so great, they can do nothing but talk and think about Krishna all day long, and their ecstasy is increasing continuously, only increasing continuously. Now this is something that we can approach Balaram about. If we happen to have this type of a problem, and we have so many other desires sitting within our heart, and we know that they're not of the greatest value, but yet they are there. And we may have even tried to remove them, but we are unable. This might be a problem to bring to Balaram. When we see that our hearts covered by so many layers of desires, of faithlessness, of offenses. Asmasar, the essence of iron, makes the heart so hard, in the words of Sukadeva Goswami or Shonaka Rishi in the Bhagavatam. Asmasar, due to offenses, the heart becomes hard, so hard that when we chant Krishna's names, our hearts do not melt and tears do not come to our eyes. That might be a problem that we can bring to Balaram. Another pastime where Balaram protected Krishna out of his great fraternal love. This is described, this pastime is mentioned in conjunction with Bhagasura by Krishna Chakravarti Thakur in his comment. He said that when Krishna went to kidnap Rukmini, he went all alone. And Balaram immediately went there with all the armies to protect Krishna. He knew that Krishna was all powerful. He knew that Krishna could not be defeated by all the armies of all the universes attacking at once. Nothing. Krishna still Bhagavan Swayam. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. But yet, out of his affection for Krishna, Balaram could not tolerate Krishna going into a dangerous situation, although no situation by definition is dangerous for Krishna. And therefore he went there to Kundina to protect Balaram, to protect Krishna, and he went with all the Yadu armies. Out of love, also, when Balaram went to see, when the residents of Vrindavan were in the most terrible agony, when Krishna was being held by the Kaliya snake, it is not possible to describe the agony of the residents of Vrindavan all of them. This was the first time, especially the Braja Gopis, this was the first time though that the opportunity to actually look at Krishna with their full eyes open. But it was such agony for them because of their love. The example I used to make a particular point here is like when our car gets in an accident, we get so upset, or if we lose some of our money or something, we get so upset. But if someone else's car gets in an accident, we don't care at all. Or we might say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear this. It's hard to get upset. So if someone else loses their money, we think, oh, that's too bad. We say to them inside, we think, oh, you deserved it. You deserved it even worse. Because there is the sambandha, the loving relationship isn't present. But when the loving relationship is present with Krishna, to see him in this, any kind of distress, like being enwrapped in the coils of Kaliya, this is intolerable. That's the resonance of Vrindavan. And that love is so powerful. They are not in the material world. We wonder what keeps us in the material world. It is just the absence of love and the presence of so many other desires. So when the cowherd boys saw Krishna wrapped in a snake, they fell down on the ground. Just an example that's given in the Bhagavatam is like a tree whose roots have been cut. If you just cut a tree, it just falls. There's no ceremony. There's no trying to protect itself. It has lost its support. The coward boys saw Krishna like that. They had nothing in this world left. The support was gone. Krishna might be harmed in some way. And they fell down to the ground just like that, like a tree whose roots have been broken, cut at its roots. The calves and cows were staring with unblinking eyes. And then there were inauspicious omens. And all the residents of Vrindavan, Balaram wasn't there at that time, because Balaram would not have let Krishna jump into the water. The poison waters. In fact, none of the cowherd boys would have let Krishna jump into the water. And Krishna, before he jumped in, he walked up what kind of a tree, was it? A gumbi tree. And he told the boys, he said, why are you climbing this tree now? This water is poisonous. You just died. You brought us back to life with your glance. And Krishna said, oh, Garuda hid some nectar in this tree, and therefore it is still alive despite the poison. I want to see if any nectar is still up there. Yes, he lied. The Supreme Personality of Godhead lied. But we should not imitate him. We should be truthful. But he does everything simply to increase the ecstasies and the rasas of Vrindavan. This is the cause of what Krishna does. He's the Supreme Lord. Everything that he does is perfect and pure and all good. This is the meaning of Param Satyam. Param Satyam Dhimahi. We meditate on this Supreme Lord who is all good, all true. So Balaram was kept home that day. It was his birthday, and it was an auspicious abhishek that was going to be performed. So it was the best time to place on Balaram's birthday, or at least in the nakshatra. So that means it was in the heat of the summer, like of the Vrindavan summer, like today. And then everyone came. And Mother Yashoda and they saw Krishna enwrapped, and she saw Krishna enwrapped, she fainted. That was the only reason she didn't go into the poisonous waters to save Krishna. She had fainted. And she the only way that the other gopis could keep her alive was to pour within her ear the nectar of Krishna Katha. And they did that continuously. Krishna has done this, and Krishna has done that, and Krishna has done this, and Krishna has done that. And you remember what Krishna looks like, and remember that about Krishna. And Krishna did that, and Krishna did that, and he's so beautiful, and he walks like this, and he stole butter like that. And just by hearing the sound vibration of Krishna's pastimes, Mother Yasoda stayed alive. And then the coward men, they wanted to enter immediately into the water. And some of them, Balaram stopped all of them. Some stopped by arguments. No snake can hurt this boy. Some he stopped by physically stopping them. And there was another way too. Oh yes, by his smile. Balaram, at other times when Bakasura was being killed, he was the one who fainted. But here, for the service of the Brajavasis, he was inspired by Krishna's Yogamaya potency to keep all knowing about Krishna. So he was saying, there's nothing to fear at all. And he was so calm and peaceful, despite the fact that Krishna was being held, that relieved the mind of the Brajavasis. If Balaram is peaceful, and he certainly, no one loves Krishna more than Balaram, if he's not in anxiety, then we'll not be in anxiety too. And then, also, just imagine this scene that Balaram took part in. On Nanda Maharaj, 30. When Nanda Maharaj was after Govardhan Puja, I think it's the 36th chapter in the Krishna book. Where's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Krishna book. What's 36? You've been fasting. Okay, 34. Okay. No. No, that's 35. But in any case, yes, you're right. You're right. Maybe it's 28. Yes, it's 28 that I'm thinking. And what's 28, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, delivering Nanda Maharaj from the clutches of Varuna. Nanda Maharaj, after the Govardhan Puja, jumped in the Yamuna River, not jumped in, he went to bathe very early, and he was taken away by the foolish servants of Varunadev. And what did it look like from the surface? Because all the cowherd men, they were watching this. So what did it look like from the surface, from the outside? Nanda Maharaj had gone into the water to bathe, and then what did it look like had happened? It looked like he had drowned. So Krishna decided to save Nanda Maharaj. And he was going to jump into the water to save him, because he knew that he had gone to the abode of Varuna. But what was it going to look like from the surface? Nanda Maharaj drowns, and then Krishna drowns. And if Mother Yasoda saw that or heard about that, her life would be finished. So before Krishna would jump in the water, he told Balaram, you go and tell Mother Yasoda that everything is all right. And if you tell her, he didn't say this, but this is the implied meaning, because you assured everyone at the time when I was being held by Kalia, you assured everyone that everything was going to be all right, and everything indeed turned out all right. Now, if you tell her, don't worry, everything is going to be all right, your credibility is very high. You reassure mother. Otherwise, she will not be able to maintain her life. This is the loving exchanges of Braja. Very sweet. And then Krishna indeed did jump in the water. And indeed, he became very angry. Very angry. He assumed a form that his eyes were so red that no one could even look at him. And Varuna, when the messenger brought Nanda Maharaj to him, Varuna was so powerful and intelligent just by the physiognomy, the face and shape of Nanda Maharaj's body. He understood, this is Nanda Maharaj, this is not an ordinary person. And what do you think he felt at that point? He was a demigod. What do you think he felt? Yes, terror. He felt terrified because he knew Krishna wasn't going to tolerate this. So immediately, he placed Nanda Maharaj on a throne, and he went out with presents and many presentations. He was just waiting for Krishna to come. And when Krishna came, he was in such a fierce form, with his eyes bright blood red, that no one could look at him. And he was so ferocious that immediately when he got to the kingdom of Varuna, everyone just simply offered their obeisances, and Varuna said, just see, your father Nanda Maharaj is over here, sitting on a throne. We're taking very nice care of him. And then Krishna began to cool down. So from different points of view, always from different points of view, according to the consciousness that one has, when Bhagasura ate Krishna, touched Krishna, it was intolerable for him. When the Mother Yasoda touches Krishna, it's something completely different. And she becomes ecstatic to a degree that is indescribable. Because according to our consciousness, we experience differently. Maharaj Parikshit, he was able to listen to Krishna Katha for 7 days without eating and sleeping. And he was just completely alive. And Sukadev was able to speak for days and days and days and feel ecstatic. Because my consciousness was so elevated. So what was that pastime like for, we heard what it was like for Krishna, he became very angry. We heard it was like for Balaram and Mother Yasoda to some degree. There's also a description in Ananda Vrindavan Sampa what it was like when Krishna entered the water for Srimati Radharani. Oh. She underwent such an experience of separation, just hearing that Krishna had entered the water, that she shriveled up like a leaf. But what was it like for Nanda Maharaj? He didn't hear Krishna was in the water, but he had been taken away by the Yamadutas. And what was it like for him? He was just there, sitting on the throne, thinking, with his eyes closed, thinking, my son Krishna is so nice. He herds the cows in such a wonderful way. Who can play the flute nicer than Krishna? I see him every day. He takes care of the cows so nicely. He calls them by their names. His complexion is such a beautiful color. His speaking is so sweet. And on and on and on. He was just talking and thinking about Krishna. And he had no awareness that indeed he had been taken away. He had no awareness of anything but his beautiful son, Krishna. When Krishna left Vrindavan, there were times when he didn't even know that Krishna had left. He was seeing Krishna everywhere he looked. So finally, Krishna came to bring him back from the kingdom of Varuna. Krishna stood in front of him. And Nanda Maharaj opened his eyes. And he saw Krishna. And he said, "Oh." And Krishna said, "Father, I've come. Please, place one of the lotuses on your feet in front of the next one. And let us walk back to our place in Vrindavan." Okay. The exchanges between Krishna and the devotees, they are like sweetness. They are like sweetness personified. And if somehow or another, if we can get the taste, or some taste, or a little bit of a taste, for what it's like having an awake relationship with Krishna, an awake and loving relationship with Krishna, not an awake and continuous relationship with Krishna like Kamsa, not pratikul, anukulam Krishna, nityananam. If we can get a taste for that, and we can deepen that taste and become fixed in that taste and let that taste develop to attachment and chant Krishna's names in that mood, in this world, when it's time to leave this world, there won't even be a moment's difference as when Narada Muni, when he was the son of a maid servant, as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously, the development of our spiritual full identity will come just as quickly when it's time to leave this gross body behind. And that time will come for everyone, from the smallest to the eldest in this world. From the great redwood trees that are 10,000 years old to the little insect that lives just for the night. Everyone, Brahma Bhuvano Loka Puna Avito Arjuna. Everyone has their time. So let us use our life. Make our life significant. Extraordinarily significant. And develop love. Move forward. Become determined at least to move forward in our love for Krishna. Use our life, human consciousness, to its full advantage. Okay means? Okay. Thank you. Sri Balaram Purnima Ki Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Nitai Gaur.